it's a Daniel fast, which is just fruit and veg, basically, and seeds and nuts, or if it's a full food fast, or if you want to fast social media. I know some of you might need to do that anyway, but you can fast. And if you would like to join us for our worship and prayer night this Wednesday in here at 7:30. So that means clearly there will be no specific healing rooms this Wednesday, but we'll be joining together and we'll be praying, seeking the Lord for healing during that session on Wednesday, that meeting. Connect groups are running on Monday and Tuesday. I'm sure you're in touch with your leaders, your group leaders for that, but that will be running as normal if it would be running this week. Next week, exciting news. You know I like anything to do with food, so we've got the pancake station next Sunday. Who likes pancakes, anyone? Yeah. Remember last year, not last year actually, the year before. It was like the week before lockdown, number one. You remember that? And we had pancakes. And we were all okay, weren't we? We all ate pancakes and spread germs and everyone was okay in there. But we're going to have pancakes next week. And there's going to be a variety of toppings. So put your request in. Make your request known for your favourite topping. Since we tucked into our series on Psalm 23, how's it going? Are you enjoying the series on Psalm 23? I'm enjoying learning and meditating on that scripture and really getting deep into it. It's been fantastic for me, so hopefully it's good to you. But today we're going to be looking at, everyone might not remember, because I'll be easy on you, because it's been 4 weeks since we did the last one. But today we're looking at, He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. So He leads us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And you see, as part of my return to office in my other job in the city, to try and get staff back into the office, even on a part-time basis, is proving challenging. There's habits that have grown after the last 2 years, and there's still some fear around and some other things that are impacting people coming back to the office. But they've tried to do some really exciting stuff to try and encourage people to come back. So exciting stuff, I mean, like free breakfasts in the office, pastries and all sorts, smoked salmon bagels and everything, which is always good. Free food, don't turn down free food. Eat when you can. The next one is they've done some evenings where we've had canapés and champagne for those who like champagne and all that sort of stuff. But the final one they did was a open-top bus tour. Does anyone love open-top bus tours in London? I love it. I love London. I think it's one of the best cities in the world. Up there, top three for me, New York, Rome and London probably, that I've visited, and my favourite three cities in the world. And I love the architecture in London. And when you go around on these open-top bus tours, you see it in all its glory. And so we went on this open-top bus tour, and I was really excited because I hadn't done it for many, many years. And I'll tell you what, our tour guide was absolutely fantastic. I mean, she was a bit eccentric and crazy, but she was absolutely fantastic because she had a really deep knowledge of everything that was coming up on the route, everything. So she didn't, you know, need to check her notes. She didn't have any prompts. She just knew what was coming around the next bend. She knew what building was on your left and what was on your right. She knew everything that was going to come up on that journey. And I want you to imagine that depth of knowledge and understanding, and then receive in your heart today that that is what God has for you in terms of this journey for life. He knows everything that's coming up, every turn that you have to make, everything that's on your left and on your right, every hurdle that you'll have, He knows. He doesn't need any notes or prompts. He knows what's coming up in your life, just like that open-top bus tour guide had for us. You see, the Lord is the guide for your life's journey. The Lord is your guide. That's what this whole phrase is about. The Lord is your guide in this life. And that's an important truth for us to rest in today. If you don't take anything else, take the fact that the Lord is your guide and your leader in this life. In the same way that we didn't try and influence this bus tour guide to go down a different route. Can you imagine if we were shouting at her, heckling her, go that way instead. No, we didn't try and influence the route she was taking on. Same energy for God. Let's have the same energy for God. Let's not try and push Him down a route that we think He needs to take us. Let's allow Him to guide us and lead us through this life's journey. Let's pick up the scripture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What an amazing psalm about the shepherd over our lives. How's everyone doing temperature-wise? I'm a bit hot up here. Is it everyone a bit hot? Alistair, do you want to turn? Hello? It's all about you, isn't it? It's not about me. I'm joking. Right, it's fine. Leave it here. Who's the one doing the work here? Come on. The part of this psalm is predominantly about guidance. I've said it's about guidance. And I believe that this is one of the key parts of scriptures, is to get hold of the fact that the Lord is your guide. Yes, there's great stuff in the scriptures, that he's your redeemer, he's your savior, he's your provider, he's your healer, but he is your guide and your leader through life's journey. And we need to grasp this, because so often, so many of us try and reroute the sat-nav and go off in a different direction and hope that we'll get back on track somewhere down the line. You know when you drive off the wrong route from your sat-nav and you hope that it will reroute you back onto the right path? So many of us do that in life. We go off track. And what my dad was saying last week when he spoke, we're maybe behind, or we go off track and we're just hopeful that we'll get back on one day. But the Lord wants us to be led and guided through life's pathways so that we can stay on track. Can you imagine if it was left to our own devices, the wrong turns that we would make in life? Can you imagine that? The wrong directions we would go, chasing every experiential high, perhaps. But we have a guide, as the Psalm 23 says, the good shepherd leads us down the paths, the right paths, in line with his plan for our lives. And it's important to read Psalm 23 from the perspective of a journey. I don't know if you've ever done that, but read Psalm 23 from the perspective of it being a journey. It's not static. It's not stationary. The sheep were on the move. Firstly, they went to green pasture. Then they went along the firm paths down to the still waters. And then they went to the valley of the shadow of death. They went to the dark canyons. And then they came up to the tabletop mountains to have a feast in the presence of their enemies. And then they return back through to the end, to the Father's house at the end of it. It's a journey, and we must read this as the journey of life, which ties in lovely with what we heard last week. David was taking us on a journey when he wrote Psalm 23. You see, we have a guide who knows perfectly what the next part of life has for us. So you guys who just got married 2 weeks ago, you have a guide who knows exactly the next stage of your relationship in your life. It's for all of us, whatever you're stepping into, you have a guide for that next step in life. He's not going to be surprised by anything that comes up. He knows, he's planned it all out from before time. So if you wanted to summarize this, maybe this is for the podcast later, you could summarize that to say, he has a plan for life's pathways. He has a plan for life's pathways. That's what this section of scripture is all about. And I want to dwell firstly on, where does God lead us? Where does the good shepherd lead us? And you'll know, because it's in the verse, on paths of righteousness. He leads us on paths of righteousness. What does that mean, Pete? Well, that means, firstly, I believe, that he leads you down paths that are right for you and me. The right path for you and for me. That's his leading. He's not going to lead you down some obscure path that doesn't match up with your life and your personality and your character. He's going to lead you down paths that are right for you and for me. And you see, this is a God-ordained path that he had set for you before the beginning of time. That's the path that he's going to lead you down. And so this represents all the decisions and all the choices that will keep us within God's preordained will for your life. That's where he wants to lead you, through his preordained will for your life. And okay, sometimes we're going to go wrong, and it doesn't mean we can't get back in the will of God. We get back in the will of God as quickly as we can. As we saw, great heroes of the Bible stepped outside of the will of God, but then got back into the will of God as soon as they could. God wants to lead you down paths of his will and his preordained plan for your life. You know, my experience is, and hopefully I'm not the only one in the room, but that God leads us specifically. God leads us intentionally. God leads us personally, anyone? And God leads us intimately in the everyday things. Can I get an amen if anyone's experienced that? Because for me, in 2007, I was a young man in 2007. You might say I'm a young man now, but I'm not as young as I look. I'm getting old and grey. That's why I cut my hair short now, to get rid of the greys. But in 2007, I was a young man, and I had a decision. I was working for Aon, one of the largest insurance brokers in the world. And I had two opportunities. It was a fork in the road moment. So they wanted to move me offshore to do some offshore finance stuff into the islands. And then I was being headhunted by a major bank in Canary Wharf at the same time. And I had a fork in the road. What do I do? Both opportunities seemed amazing on the face of it. A real privilege to be considered for both. But little did I know, at that same time, in the spiritual realm, there was a church in Guernsey, an Elim church in Guernsey, praying for months and months for youth pastors to come to that church, for months. So that's going on in the spiritual realm. They're fasting and praying for this provision, like I'm fasting and praying for youth pastors to come into here. But you see, they were praying and praying and praying, and they never gave up. So that was going on, and in the spiritual realm, Gemma and I are praying for guidance. What do? God, lead us down the paths that you have for us. And so I pursued both opportunities equally, but I felt like the Holy Spirit was on that opportunity to go to the Guernsey Offshore Finance Center and work there. That's what I sensed. In the scripture it says, if it seems right to you and to the Holy Spirit. Yeah? So it felt right to us and to the Holy Spirit. So we left, we were young people, just married, and we left to move over in our tiny little car, stacked everything in there, and then we had a container shipped over. And we went to move to Guernsey for a few years. And you know, loads happened in that church in Guernsey when we were there. God did amazing things through us. And the first meeting we turned up at, we saw these really excited people. And I was like, why are you so excited? He said, you're the answer to our prayer. We've been praying for 6 months for youth pastors, and you've just joined the church. And so we threw ourselves into that youth pastor role, and we led. There was 50 kids who got baptized within a very short period of time. We saw revival break out in our youth group. And God was doing something through us, but we had to be led down the right path. Does that make sense? We allowed God to lead us. The opportunity in Canary Wharf was great too, but we were led by God during that season. I'm going to say to you today, God will lead you if you allow him down the paths that are right for you and for me. He will allow you. If you allow him, he will lead you down those right paths. Joyce Meyer said this, when we start following God's plan for our lives, it's like finding a pair of shoes that fit comfortably. When you follow God's plan, it's like finding the right shoes. Anybody walked in the wrong shoes before? It's not great, is it? Get the right shoes on, follow the plan of God. Secondly, I believe the paths that he leads us down are righteous paths. What this means is these are paths that honor God, where we make daily decisions to honor God and please God with our life. God's plan for us is built around holy living. His plan for us is to lead us down righteous paths, holy paths. That's his plan. His plan's all wrapped up around us being holy as he is holy, it says in the scripture. And listen, I'm not going away from the gospel. The gospel is the grace of God is a free gift. That's what the gospel is. The grace of God, you cannot earn it. I cannot earn it. But once you have the grace of God, be holy as I am holy, God says. So he wants, his whole plan for your life is based around holy living. We can't get away from that. None of this cheap grace that says, carry on doing whatever you want. It's okay because I'll be forgiven. Okay, God will forgive you. I believe he'll forgive you till the end of time. But let's not cheapen his grace for our lives. Let's pursue holy living because that's where his plan for us is wrapped. And why does he lead us down these paths of righteousness? Why? So we know where he leads us. He leads us down right paths and holy paths. But why? And it was in the scripture that we just read, for his name's sake. He leads us down holy paths for his name's sake. And you know, lots of people in the world say for sake, as in put the name of Christ in there. Don't they? They say for sake, yeah? And I'm not going to say it. But that's what they say. But what we're literally saying here is, do it for Christ's sake. Live your life like that for Christ, for the sake of Christ. For his name's sake, live holy. That's the call that is in this scripture. To live our lives to honor God and his wonderful and holy name. For his name's sake. For God's sake, let's do it. Is what we're being called. And you see, this is an important nuance in this bit of scripture. And we need to dwell here just for a moment. Because if let's remind us of the gospel message. The gospel message is that we get the imputed righteousness of Christ. Do you know what imputed means? Basically transferred from Christ to us. We do nothing for that. It's a free gift. That's the gospel. I'm not going away from that. That is true. And if you haven't accepted the righteousness of Christ, accept it today. But you see, this is the thing. Why does he lead us down those paths of righteousness then? If he's already given us imputed righteousness, why does he need to? It's not so that we can become good enough to be saved. It's not so that we become more righteous in ourselves. We'll never be righteous in ourselves. So why does he lead us down paths of righteousness? We need to get this. It's for his name. It's for his name's sake. To bring glory and honor to his name. Because put it another way, if we live unholy, if we live unrighteous, we're dishonoring his name. Because people know we belong to Christ, and then they watch us carry on like everyone else, it dishonors God. So we get pulled down and led down the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, for his good name. He doesn't want his good name to be tarnished by our behavior. Does that make sense? And okay, we're not perfect. Nobody in this world is perfect. But we should be pursuing holy living for his name's sake. Remember, some people, you might be the only Jesus that some people see. And I'm preaching to myself, I'm the only Jesus that some people see. Check your reaction, Pete, to stuff. Yeah, they're out of line, but check your reaction, Pete. They're watching you for his name's sake. Lead you down paths of holiness and righteousness. I went off piece there, sorry. So here, the Good Shepherd doesn't lead us down paths of righteousness for us. It's not so that we can become better or cleaner. He leads us down paths of righteousness to bring honor and glory to him. You've received the righteousness of Christ. Be holy as he is holy. So that you can bring glory and honor to his name. We'll never be good enough in our own strength. We'll never be good enough. It's right to pursue holiness and righteousness. But the reason why is to bring glory to God. I did a course at work. How strong is your reason why? Have anyone done this? How strong is your why? Why you do something? Well, what we're saying here, the why is to honor God. It's not anything to do with us. Why do we walk in righteous paths and holy paths? To honor God and to uphold his righteous name. So it's his plan and his desire from our conversion, from that moment you give your life to Jesus, his plan for us is to pursue holiness and righteousness and being humble enough to allow him to lead us down those paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Listen, I don't want us to be overwhelmed today. It might be overwhelming that we need to pursue holiness and righteousness. But here's the thing. You don't have to do it on your own. Because the whole passage here is about his leading and his guiding. Remember, you're just a sheep. You're just a sheep. And what do sheep do? They follow the shepherd. The sheep can't find their own green pasture. The sheep can't find their pure water. The sheep can't find the right path. They follow the shepherd. We can't do it on our own, but be strengthened today that the Lord guides you and the Lord leads you to those paths of righteousness. Hallelujah that he does. Hallelujah that he directs me. I praise God that he directs me and leads my life. Because where would I turn if not? It says this in Proverbs 5-6, and you know it well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. He will lead you on paths of holiness and righteousness for his name's sake. Trust him to lead you this morning. And you may ask the next question, how do I stay glued to his guidance and his leading in my life? And I want to just give a few very quick pointers on that. Firstly, pray. Pray. Ask the Lord to lead you. Lead me, Lord. Guide me. What's that song? Do you remember that song? Lead me, guide me. Da, 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 da. Whatever it is, you know. Susie knows it. Am I making one up? Let's write it. Let's get the copyright. Ask the Lord. No, someone knows that song. Come on. But ask the Lord to lead you. A non-negotiable in my household, and it's driven by my wife more than me, is that we never take a semi-important decision without asking the Lord. Even a semi-important decision, we will never take that decision without asking God. And you see, the things we ask is, what impact is that going to have on my relationship with God? That's the first thing we ask. If I go down that path, how will it affect my walk with God? Secondly, we ask, how will that affect the relationship my children have with God? And that's an important one for the parents here. How does the decision I make affect my children's walk with God? And thirdly, how does it affect my ability to serve his church? And so we pray about every decision in light of those three things. And if it doesn't feel right for us, we don't do it. That's just what we do in our household. My wife is so strict about it, as you can imagine. She's the most godly one in our relationship, as you all know. You see, we pray for closed doors as much as we do open doors. It's really important. I look back on my life, I'm most grateful for closed doors more than open doors. Because I think if I'd gone down that route that I wanted to go down and he hadn't shut that door, uh-oh, for me and my family. Pray for closed doors in your life. Pray. Don't make any decision until you've prayed to the Lord. Guide me. Lead me. That song's coming to my head again. It must be one. Ask the Lord to show you what to do with your life. Ask him how to lead you in your time effectively. Ask you how to manage your money properly. Ask the Lord how you can serve his kingdom here on earth. Ask the Lord to guide you. You're not on this alone. You're just a sheep. Look for the shepherd and his guiding. You see, Jesus modeled the importance of prayer, didn't he? I tell you, the night before he chose his disciples, he prayed all night. Did you notice that? He prayed all night before he chose his closest followers. Jesus was a smart guy. Because remember, he walked away from his divinity. He was, like you and I, relying on his relationship with the Father. And he knew he needed to pray so he could please the Father. For his name's sake. For Yahweh's name's sake. He made right choices. Let's pray. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane prayed all the time until he was arrested so that he could do the Father's will. Prayer is not a nice to have. That's why I point it as point one. It is fundamental to walk in this journey with God. Secondly, and you know what's coming, open the scriptures. Open the scriptures. You know, equally as important as prayer is allowing God to speak to you. So oftentimes, if you're like me, a lot of the time your prayer is you talking to God. I wait for God to speak. But open the Bible and allow God to speak to you. God's really, really desperate to speak to us on a daily basis. And I know God speaks in different ways, and you can hear the booming voice and the still quiet voice. But listen, the most common way I've experienced, he speaks through his word. He speaks through his word. So when you meditate on scripture consistently, sequentially, God will speak to you. He might not give you an answer to do I go to Guernsey or to Canary Wharf. Because I don't think Guernsey or Canary Wharf are referenced in the Bible. Unless it's in one of the new translations. But he might not give you the specific. But if you're reading your word and you know your word, God will guide you in this life. You'll have wisdom and discernment to make godly decisions at that moment when you need to make godly decisions. And often people say to me, oh, God's not speaking to me. Are you reading your Bible? That's my first response. God's not speaking to me. Are you reading the word? Are you asking the Holy Spirit to bring it to life for you? Because God still speaks mostly in that way today, through his word that was ordained by his Spirit all those years ago. You see, one, and this is brilliant, Richard Bolton told me this a long time ago. We have these discussions when he comes to help with the gardening on a Wednesday, clean out the front. Remember you said to me, the sheep can distinctively hear the shepherd's voice. Remember, when we started this series, you see, the thing about sheep is the shepherd's voice cuts through everything. Cuts through all the noise. No matter what's, if there's a combine harvester in the next field, they can hear the shepherd's voice through the noise. Can you hear the shepherd's voice through all the noise that's going on in life? Can you hear the shepherd's voice? If not, spend time in his presence. Spend time in his word. And wait until he speaks to you. He's speaking. We just need to have ears to hear, just like the sheep have ears to hear their shepherd. Thirdly, so you prayed and you've read your Bible. It's a big decision. Look for God's divine providence in the situation. Look for God's divine providence in the circumstances. You can't do this one alone. This is a dangerous one just to rely on your own, on its own. But look at the circumstances and see God's divine providence and provision in the circumstances. Because God often leads us through his providential leading. Do you know what that means? He opens and closes doors and manipulates situations and circumstances to align to our needs. Like I say, a warning, big warning, don't do this one on its own. In isolation, pray, seek scripture, but sometimes God is leading you through circumstance as well. We've got to have eyes to see God's providential leading in our life. He brings people in your life just at the right moment. Have you noticed? People would say that's a coincidence. That's not a coincidence, that's a God provision. He might open a door just at the right moment. That's not a coincidence. That might be a God provision. But don't do this one in isolation. I keep giving you that warning. This is not an excuse not to pray. This is not an excuse not to read your Bible and meditate on scripture. This needs to be used in line with reading scripture and praying and then seeing God work through the situation. Amen? In the book of Ruth, and Ruth is an amazing book in the Bible, but in the book of Ruth, Naomi tells Ruth, "Sit there, my daughter, until you know how the matter will turn out." In other words, you don't know how it's going to turn out, but be still and wait and see God's leading in the his providential leading in the circumstances. He's going to work it out for you. It might not be how you want it to be. It might not be how you expected it to be. He might do something new and different, but he will do it. Because he who he called you is faithful, he will do it. His promises are yes and amen without repentance. If he's promised it, he will do it. So Naomi says to Ruth, wait and see how the situation will turn out. This is not an excuse for avoiding prayer or reading scripture. You need, as you wait, to be full of scripture, knowing what God's saying to you through the scriptures. You need to be speaking to God regularly, but wait and allow the circumstances to lead you. F.B. Meyer, a great Christian from previous time, a great author, some of his stuff is fantastic. He says this, "At one moment the way may seem utterly blocked, And then shortly afterwards, some trivial incident occurs, which might not seem much to others, but to a person of faith speaks volumes. And then these events are not haphazard results of chance, but the opening up of circumstance in the direction in which we should walk. So they might not mean something to someone with no faith, but that little shift of circumstance for someone who, with the eyes of faith, might be opening up the way to walk. And here we go into number four, because this goes hand in hand with that one. What is your inner peace saying to you? What is your inner peace saying to you? So the circumstances might look really good. It might be opening up, but what's your inner conscience saying to you? Because you know how the Holy Spirit works. The Holy Spirit works to convict you of what you need to do and what you don't need to do. So if you don't have inner peace, don't go down there. Even if the circumstances seem good, don't go there. I praise God for the number of times in my life where the circumstances have opened up. It's like the Red Sea parting. You know, you could fit a London bus down there. And I'm a big guy, but you can fit a London bus down there. But I haven't had inner peace. And so I don't make that decision. I don't go that path. Because what trumps that circumstantial providential leading is the Holy Spirit within me, directing and guiding me to what I should be doing. And there's been so many times when I could have gone and followed the providential leading, and I praise God that I listened to the nagging in my soul, my spirit, which said, do not go that route. And I didn't, and God protected me massively in some massive situations. What is the inner conviction from the Holy Spirit saying? If you've got unease about something, means you haven't got total peace about something. But when you've got inner peace and something seems right to you and the Holy Spirit, like I said earlier, if that's aligned with your prayer and what God's saying to you through scripture, making godly decisions, the circumstances seem good, and now I've got inner peace, you might be in a good place to take that route. But these are really significant things we need to do if we want to be led by God. Never make a decision unless your inner peace is you have complete inner peace. Never. That's my words to you. Never make a decision unless you have total inner peace. And you'll thank God in the future that he protected you from that. Fifthly, use the brain that God gave you. God gave you a brain. Use it. Yeah. Logic. And again, you can't use logic on its own. That's dangerous. Because sometimes we try and make everything make sense. And this is a faith walk, not a make sense walk. But use your brain. Align to prayer. Align to what God says in his scripture. Align to your inner peace. Use your brain. Does it make sense? Is it logical? Should I be doing this? God gave you a brain. We've got some wise people in here. Use your brain when it comes to making a decision. But can I just put in an extra one? I just thought of something. Don't ever follow your heart. I'll just leave it at that. You can use your brain, but don't follow your heart. Deceitful the heart has proven to be. Sound like Yoda then, didn't I? From Star Wars. So speaking of riddles, deceitful the heart is. Don't follow your heart, but use your brain. Amen. And number six, last 2 minutes. Really important. Find contentment in the way that God leads. Find your contentment in the way that God leads you. If things don't work out the way you thought they were going to work out, trust God. Trust God in that. Trust his leading and his sovereignty in your life. If things turn out the way you wanted, thank God for that. Praise God for that. The key to life is contentment. The key to being led along these paths of righteousness for his name's sake is that we would be content being the sheep and allowing him to be the shepherd. Let go of the steering wheel of life. Just let go of that steering wheel and allow God to drive you. You see, if you allow God to hold the steering wheel, then the only thing up to us is accelerator and brake. And I'm talking about an automatic. Who drives a manual these days anyway? I probably can't anymore. But you've got an accelerator and a brake. If God's holding the wheel and he's guiding you, you're the one that determines how fast you go along that road and how slow you go with God. Yeah? Allow God to drive and steer this journey of life. He is the good shepherd. He will lead you down the paths of righteousness and holy living for his name's sake. Because what we want to do in this life is bring honor to him. What I want to do in my life is bring honor to God. And that's why I will try with everything I have to allow him to lead me down the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. God bless you. God bless you.